I am on part two of Any Luck With That Chocolate. If you've missed part one, you can get the CD from in the back, or you can go on the website and listen to the sermon. Part two may make more sense to you if you'll listen to part one. Any Luck With That Chocolate is the story of Clifford. Now, Clifford is a precocious young man who has a deep desire to go to Dinosaur World. He will stop at nothing to go to Dinosaur World. And in the process, Clifford decides that he would like to have some chocolate, even if it meant wrecking his uncle's car to get that chocolate. Now, while getting the chocolate, while the uncle was in the store to get him some chocolate, Clifford sees that the next car over, they're going to Dinosaur World and he is not. And he sees the young man in the dinosaur costume, so he meets him in the bathroom, he buys the costume, and then gets in the wrong car. Uncle looks for Clifford. He can't find Clifford. He finds the kid counting the money that Clifford paid him for his dinosaur suit so he could get into the car that's going to Dinosaur World. The uncle unveils the dinosaur uniform to find Clifford there. And as the parents of the other child have totally flipped out, as the uncle is totally flipped out, Clifford looks up at the uncle and says, "Any luck with that chocolate?" And I watched this and I realized that that is God's perspective of us. We don't live the way we should live. We don't do the things we should do. But yet, when we want something, we go to God. "God, any luck with that healing? Any luck, God, with that money that I need to pay these bills?" And we have not put ourselves in position to receive from the Father. So today we're talking about putting ourselves in position to receive from the Father. So Any Luck With That Chocolate, part two. Luck is your result of something which you have no control over. Most Christians do not believe in luck, and they are wrong. I do not believe in the world's definition of luck. I believe in God's favor, that is, preferential treatment. I also believe that it's based on my actions. This scripture has changed my life. John 15, 5 through 8. "I am the vine, you are the branches. If She's allowed to cry. She's only, one. Okay. Between 1 and 75, you can cry all you want in here. "I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me," if. God's trying to tell you, if you don't do this thing, then this is not going to happen for you. "But if you'll remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." I was so aware of God last night. The water was charged. The atmosphere was charged. And I got in that pool and we began to baptize people. And then God said, "I'll do this one." All people said, "You raised your hand," and they were baptized. No, I didn't do anything. God did it through me. My power comes from God, God alone. I was just the vessel at the right place, at the right time, being obedient to what God wanted to do. We almost lost Marie. And CJ. And Pamela. I had just done a couple of services, so I didn't want to do any more. Pastor Linda let one get off to the deep end. Go get her! They weren't even trying to come out of that water. They were sinking lower and going deeper. No, we got to get them back up. I don't know how long we have to get them back up, but I think we were testing that theory. If you do not remain in me, oh, there's our problem. You see, we're faithful when we need something or want something. But are we faithful all day long? I have learned to be faithful all day long. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. God's telling us, if you don't stay with me, if you wander off course, then something's happening to our spiritual connection. Something is wrong with our spiritual connection. You're like a branch that's thrown away. You're like a branch that's withered and died. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. Now he's talking about if you stay gone too long. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciple. We want preferential treatment from God. Is there anybody in here that doesn't? Good. I don't have to schedule any counseling sessions immediately. I want preferential treatment from God. Pastor Brett just says it a different way. I want more. But that's what he's saying. But we want it without placing ourselves in position to receive it. I had the greatest thing happen to me. Well, I had the worst. It was terrible, and then it got great. I was working at a house with some of the men, and we were jackhammering concrete. And as we were jackhammering the concrete, I was in there with the vacuum controlling the dust. A piece of concrete went into my eye. I didn't say anything. I just kept working. It really wasn't that bad. It was tolerable. But I knew it was there. And I went to sleep that night. Now, I had stayed in God the entire day, every couple of hours, every hour, every 30 minutes, I was talking to God. I abided in God like the Bible has told me to do so. I was right there. God was right there. We were connected. And I woke up about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning in intense pain. And I went to the bathroom to try to find that piece of concrete in my eye, and I opened my eye, but I was hurting at the top eyelid. It was hurting at the bottom eyelid. It was hurting in the middle of the eye. There was no way I could find it because I couldn't pinpoint where the pain was coming from. So I go back down and I lie down. I'm thinking, I've got to wake Marjorie up. We've got to go to the hospital. Then I remembered who I was. And I said, God, will you take this piece of concrete out of my eye? I went from excruciating pain, 2 seconds, the concrete was out of my eye, the pain was gone. 2 seconds. I had abided with God all day. He was right with me the entire day. He reacted immediately to my request. That's what the Word of God says will happen if I abide in him. You see, my connection was there. I hadn't broken it all day. He was ready. I was in position for my miracle, and I received the miracle. Clifford expected that he would get what he wanted without any conscience of his behavior.
Sarah Davis? My, she's aged. She drove off every man she ever had. She just withered up like an old prune.
Sarah!
Don't judge me, Uncle Martin. It was Stefan's fault.
Clifford had no conscience. I will hear someone say, God knows my heart. Yes, he does. That's why you have a problem. People often say that when they know they've done something they should not have done. Clifford's a little upset at this point. He's not going to
Dinosaur
World.
Dinosaur World is out.
That would be a mistake.
I've got a bombshell for you, young man. I happen to be the boss in this house, and you cannot fight City Hall.
Stefan, do you like Uncle Martin? So do I.
This is Martin Daniels. I've got a bomb.
Sometimes we don't even know our own heart. If their heart was right, they wouldn't have done what they did in the first place. The biggest lie that we tell is the one we tell to ourselves. You cannot improve yourself if you will not admit you need improvement. Clifford has no idea of what he's doing. He has no idea of the trouble he's causing.
Suspected of planting an explosive device.
What? No, no, I'm with the city. No. I'm designing a public transit system for the entire city of Los Angeles.
Clip four.
Look, I don't want to make this about lighting. Let's just move on with it.
You wanted to get caught. You're the one who called us.
What? Hi, this is Martin Daniels. I'm not home right now, but I've got a bomb under City Hall. Talk to you later.
Oh, well, no, this is part of my answering machine message. This is a prank. This is a joke. You don't have to believe me. Call my home.
Here. Speaker's on.
I can't tell you where my Uncle Martin is right now, but I'll give you a hint. Kaboom!
Clifford has no idea the trouble he's causing until he finds God. I had no idea of the trouble that I caused until I found God. Only God changes us from the inside out. We like to say that we're a work in progress. That's just an excuse. It's an excuse for us not to do what we know we should be doing. We need to stop the excuses. We need to stop the justifications. Stop the lies and live the way God wants us to live. This is how God views us.
I am now out on bail. Are you listening to me? Are you?
Yes, I am.
I have a criminal record. But you know what you're gonna have?
What?
You're gonna have a one-way ticket back to your parents.
Oh, don't send me back to my parents. They hate me.
But as much as I do. Oh, stop with the fake tears.
I'm not faking. I am sorry. I'll admit anything. Just stop sending me back to my parents. I'll even tell Miss Sarah that I was the one who put the lipstick in your pocket, which I didn't. It was her father who did it. He wanted to embarrass you. He said that you were a simple-minded moron.
Sarah's father called me a moron?
A simple-minded moron.
And Sarah's father put the lipstick in my pocket.
Yes.
Why would he do that?
Because he hates you. I don't know why. I certainly think you're a nice enough sort.
I suppose that Sarah's father also put the hot sauce in my drink.
That I don't know.
You don't.
No.
You don't.
No.
You don't.
No.
You have no idea who did that.
I would suspect the bartender.
You would suspect.
Theory.
Well, you know, I would suspect someone else. Now, who could that be?
If you are about to say what I think you're about to say, then I don't want to hear it. Because Sarah Davis loves you, Uncle Martin. She wouldn't do that. Oh, she has problems with you, but every relationship goes through that. Oh, you don't think it was me?
I can picture us sitting at that desk and God talking to us. But God, I'm just a work in progress. God, I didn't know what I was doing. Oh, that was Eugenia who did that, God. We have to make a choice. We have to live the way God wants us to receive the things that God has for us, or we have to play Clifford. I told Pastor Linda in the waters yesterday that we all have some Clifford in us. We'll stop at nothing to get what we want and still expect to get what we want in spite of our misbehavior. In spite that we don't follow the commandments of God, in spite that we didn't do what God has asked us to do, in spite of our disobedience. Learning to be obedient to God is the best thing I ever did. In the waters yesterday, when God said he was going to take over the baptism, yes, sir. Go right ahead. And they told me some things I said afterwards, and I never knew I said them. They said, I told Teresa that the Holy Spirit was going to baptize her. Did I tell you that? I had no idea of that. But he did. I was obedient. I've made my decision. I'm going to receive everything God has for me. I want to share with you some scripture today about how God wants you to live. But it's your choice. You can continue to be Clifford, and God will continue to shake his head at you. You saw how his uncle was grieved. The Bible says that God was once grieved like that. And he looked down upon mankind and he said, I'm sorry that I ever made you in the first place. I do not want God looking at me like that. Let's go to the first scripture. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. You know what I don't like about saying grace before the meal? It's ritualistic. It's out of habit. You don't put your heart into it. God said, take your everyday, your ordinary stuff and consider me in it. Place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Take a second and be thankful about what you're doing. That's how God wants you to live. Don't get in the habit of doing anything. Don't do it because others are watching you. Don't do it. Some of us say grace over our meal when we're around Christians, but at home we won't do it. Oh, I'm meddling now. Woo! You didn't think I was going to get through a whole sermon without meddling, did you? Is it real in your heart or not? I say grace every time I touch a piece of food, and normally I say it to myself. It's not for show. Yes, we're in a group, in a restaurant. I will say grace. I will bless the restaurant. I will bless my server because I'm thankful that she's working or he's working and that he's willing to walk back there and carry out my food to me. I will bless the cooks because they were willing to make it for me. I will praise God because I have the ability to walk into a restaurant and get whatever I want. I'm thankful. Part two. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. And that's what we do. People come to me for communion all the time. Well, why don't we have communion on the first Saturday or Sunday of every month? That's the way we did it in my other church. Now, you've got adjusted to that culture. And you do it mindlessly. We're going to do communion when God says to do communion. It's that simple. Fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. You won't even recognize yourself. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Like I did last night. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. It's time that we grow up. If we would grow up, we could stop losing the battle that we don't want to admit that we're losing. People are going to hell in record numbers. And it's on us. But that means we have to take responsibility. I'm here to tell you today, you have a responsibility to tell somebody about Jesus. And if you haven't figured out how to do that yet, then invite them to church. We'll do it. Either way, you're good. We've got to live a different life. We've got to get mature. We've got to think about what we're doing. We have to stop acting mindlessly. Don't live carelessly, unthinkingly. Make sure you understand what the Master wants. How are you going to understand what God wants? Well, you've got to listen to Him. But I don't hear Him. It's because you don't talk to Him. You see, if I met Tammy in the supermarket and I walked by her and I never said anything to her, we would not have a relationship. I don't know her. She don't know me. But if the next week I come by and I see her in the same aisle and I'm in the same aisle and I see her again and I say to Tammy, I said, hey, how you doing? She'll probably answer me. I don't know what kind of person she is. I'm guessing. She'll probably answer me. She'll probably say, hey, how are you? I saw you here last week. Come back the next week and she's still there. I might ask her a question. Well, what do you think about this cereal? And she might say, well, you know, that has too much sugar in it. And then all of a sudden, we're starting to develop a relationship. Some of you expect God to talk to you when you don't have a relationship with Him. We tell you all the time, every church you've ever gone to said you must have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and yet they never told you how to get it. I'm telling you how to get it. I'm telling you to begin to talk with Him. Begin to talk to Him about the shirt you put on your back. Lord, is this shirt going to look out for me today? Is this going to work? God, I'm going to work now. Could you guide this car? Keep me safe on my way to work. God, is this the right decision for me to get? This guy wants me to go this way. Is that what I should do? And then all of a sudden, you start to hear that still small voice from inside of you. It's where the Holy Spirit resides. Some people can hear God audibly, and I sure have, but typically comes from the inside. The Holy Spirit resides inside of me, and I'll get this feeling of peace that'll come over me, and I'll get this feeling that I should do this, or I should do that, or I should go this way or that way. And I begin to understand what God wants. Now, some of us don't want to do what God wants because it's uncomfortable. Oh, it's very uncomfortable. God told Marjorie to pray for a lady one day. Marjorie didn't want to stop the car and pray for her. So she drove around the parking lot till she couldn't see the lady anymore. But God's saying, I want you to pray for that lady. And Marjorie says, okay, God, if you lead me to her, I'll pray for her. Strip shopping center, about 40 stores. Leads Marjorie into one store, the lady standing behind the counter. And she has to tell the lady, listen, God sent me in here to pray for you. That's uncomfortable. Try it. Only the first couple of times. It gets easy after that. Then you don't care. And so, what do you think? The lady put up a wall. She put up a defense and said, I don't want you praying for me. No, God works on different dimensions. He was working on her the same time He was working on Marjorie. He just needed somebody to listen, somebody to understand what He wanted. And she was ready to receive the prayer of healing from Marjorie. What's God going to ask you to do? Buy an extra sandwich? I don't know. He's asked me to do some crazy stuff. I had to go rap at another church. I'm a white guy. I'm not supposed to rap. That's what I told God, but He didn't care. Apparently, He doesn't see color. I was uncomfortable. It couldn't get any more uncomfortable for me, but I did it because I knew what the Master wanted from me. And I'm going to give Him what He wants. Can you make a covenant with God that you'll give Him what He wants? It'll change your life. The first thing I want you to do is pray. Pray every way you know how for everyone you know. Wait a minute. I don't need all the eloquent words. I don't need to fall prostrate. Why did we get this idea that if we close our eyes and fold our hands, that God hears us better? Do you hear me any better when I close my hands and fall on my knees? know what I'm trying to tell you right now? God hears every word you say. It's a prayer. When you're talking gossip, that's a prayer to God. Is that the prayer you want to go to God? When you're talking about your brother and your sister, do you think that? When you're complaining, did you learn nothing from the Israelites? Some of you are walking in circles and have no idea why. Dealing with the same issue that you were dealing with last month, last year, and 10 years ago. Because you're walking in a circle because God hears your complaints and their prayers. Pray especially for rulers and their governments. Uh-oh. That's been a real challenge the last decade. Some of you did not like President Obama. Where is that in Scripture? Were you praying for him or complaining about him? Some of you don't like President Trump. Are you praying for him or complaining about him? Pray especially for rulers and their governments to rule well so we can be quietly about our business of living simply in humble contemplation. This is the way our Savior God wants us to live. Why? Because God's working some things out that you don't understand. Be cheerful, no matter what. Pray all the time. Thank God no matter what happens. We get that confused too. Don't thank God for what he didn't do. When I hear people thank God for what he didn't do, I lose my mind. That's the same as blaming him. If I thank you for something you didn't do, I'm blaming you for doing it. Thank God for what he's doing in the circumstance. I never, ever thank God for Marjorie's cancer. He did not give her cancer. But I thank God for the miraculous doctors. I thank God for the hospital treatment we had. I thank God for the medication that saved her life. I thank God how it renewed our faith and put us back on our destiny. But I never thanked him for the disease. He did not give her the disease. I will not blame him for giving her cancer because he didn't do it. But I thanked him for what happened. You know, I thanked him when the surgeon ripped up a $110,000 medical bill that my insurance company wouldn't pay. I thanked him that we could go into a waiting room of 75 people and get called first. The nurses would see us and usher us in. Why? We were always happy. We were always thankful. We didn't come in with this bad attitude that we just waited in the waiting room and we're tired and we don't understand. They gave Marjorie a list of side effects, pages long. And they said, go out and buy all of these counter products so that when the side effect comes, you can deal with it. And we spent an entire day buying all of these things. All of these things that we had to throw away later. Because we were thankful. When they told Marjorie she would be not able to stand up straight for several weeks. Second day, first day, when were you standing up? Third day. Standing up and walking the third day. She went home. You went home on the third day. You had to be standing before that. Supposed to be in the hospital for weeks and went home the third day. The doctor walked in. I was standing there and he looked at his fingers and he said, 1, 2, 3. I've never seen anybody heal this fast. You're going home. Watched it with my eyes. I know why God is saying to do this. He says, be cheerful no matter what. And I understand because it's for our good. It's so that he can do a work in us that he can't do otherwise. He can't get through that wall of complaint. This is the way God wants you who belong to Christ Jesus to live. Don't suppress the spirit. Don't stifle those who have a word from the master. Last night at baptisms, they take a little while because we don't stifle those who have a word from God. And when somebody goes up and down in the water, we raise them up. The first question I say, who has a word for this person? And people begin to give words. They begin to prophesy. They begin to express their gratitude for the person, whatever they want. On the other hand, don't be gullible. I don't know if anybody's ever been around me when I've rebuked something, but I'm not gullible. If you say something that's not right, I will come against it immediately. Check out everything and keep only what's good. Throw out anything that's tainted with evil. A pure life is one without contamination. And we let so many people contaminate us. And we do it in the name, well, I want to be able to show them Jesus. Some people you got to show Jesus to from afar. I'm not going to touch that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. I've been off course so many times in my life. You're not the only one. We all get off course. But every time I try to figure it out, seems logical. Seems like. And then I listen to God do it a different way, and all of a sudden, doors are opened. Take delight in the Lord. We were so on a spiritual high last night when we got home, and Pastor Manny and Alexis couldn't make it down in time for the baptisms, but we were telling them all about what had happened and what had occurred. I know many of you went home and talked about the baptisms. You were taking delight in what the Lord had done. People were crying. People were crying who got baptized. People were crying who didn't get baptized. It was an emotional time. And we took delight in what God had did. Somebody told me this morning, the clock couldn't move fast enough for me to get here this morning. What they were saying to me is, I'm taking delight in the Lord. I can't wait to get here. I can't wait to hear a word from him. I can't wait to praise him. I'm taking delight in him. And a half hour later, he's telling me how God gave him the desires of his heart. Just shaking my head. Are you up in my sermon? Don't you understand? If you take delight in the Lord, he gives you the desires of your heart. It's in the Bible. I'm watching him live it. I'm watching the scripture come alive in his life. He said, I thought about this, and then God just put it up. He just gave it to me. He just made it happen. I'm just shaking my head. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I get it. You took delight in God. You couldn't wait to get here. You couldn't wait to be in the house of God to hear what he had for you. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, for him shall much be required. This is the revelation I have for you today. I ask questions. I beg you people to ask questions. I'm so thankful that I had a pastor who demanded that I ask him questions every day. And if I did not ask him questions, he got offended. He would take me here, he would take me there, put me back in the car and say, okay, what are your questions? And I better have a question. So I've learned to question everything. What is required? Don't I already give you my money? Don't I already give you my time? Don't I already preach for you? What do you require? You see, everything that God gives you requires faith. Everything that God gives you requires your faith to be strengthened. That's all God cares about is your faith. He doesn't care whether I preach or not. He cares about my faith in him. And what God's trying to tell you is you were supposed to be dead and I saved you. I bought you back a second time. I did it with Jesus, and now I've done it again. Guess what, son? Your faith should be a little bit stronger. I require your faith to grow. You just witnessed what I did for you. You just saw the miracle. I just took that concrete out of your eye in 2 seconds. You should never be the same again. I require more faith. What did you think he required? Faith. Why does he require faith? I asked him that too. That's the only thing that draws you closer to me. I give you so your faith will increase. So that you will draw closer to me because that's all I care about. I want you to be closer to me. Everything you see, everything that God does should increase your faith. I'm a great man of faith because I have seen countless miracles. Witnessed countless miracle. I will never forget the guy who sat where Eugene is sitting right now, and they were going to amputate his leg the next day. Surgery was scheduled, and he sat in that chair, and God said, get your pastors and go down there in the middle of my sermon. I walked off this stage, I gathered my pastors around, and I prayed over him. And his reply was, I can't wait to go show the doctors that they're not amputating my leg and that Jesus has healed me. Because that wound closed up before our eyes. So I don't have to pray for you wondering if God can do it or not. My faith was increased. I was given much and my faith increases. I've faced death several times. My faith is strong. It wavers a little bit from time to time. I'm human. When God told Marjorie about our church, sitting up on a hill, got a long winding driveway. This is the color of the building. Double doors coming in. This is the color of the tile. When you go into the sanctuary, you'll see rocks on the left from top to bottom and rocks on the right from top to bottom. Behind it's another building. It has a commercial kitchen. This is what the parking lot looks like, blah, blah, blah. And she's telling me about this on our way to see this church. The man of faith I am, I put my arm around her. I said, hey, baby, all those things don't have to be just right. To whom much is given, much is required. And my faith was made greater when I saw this church. And I saw that everything she said about this church was exactly true. To whom much is given, much is required. We have people that have had miracles in their life. And they still doubt. I deal with them. And I shake my head. How can you still doubt? How can you still question God when he did this for you? Nobody else could have done this for you. It was miraculous. It was supernatural. And whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. There's your more, Pastor Brett. The greater your faith rises, the more he's going to give you. The more he gives you, the more your faith is going to raise. Where does it end? Never. I'm not the man I was last week. My faith has increased and I have drawn closer to God. Blessed, he replied. He replied, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Can I tell you something? Knowing what I know now, if I wasn't going to obey the word of God, I'd stay out of church. You wouldn't catch me anywhere near the building. I'd rather not hear it if I'm not going to obey it because I understand the consequences of that. You come, you sit under the word of God, and you don't obey it, and you're not blessed. Coming to church is a dangerous thing. Do you know you're held responsible now for everything you heard today? Or do you have the Clifford syndrome? Romans 2:6 says, God will repay each person according to what they've done. You know, you think you got away with it. Why? Because you don't understand the forbearance of God. I watch people pay for stuff they did 15, 20 years ago. I didn't get away with one thing that I've done, whether it was good or bad. I got some of both on my resume. There's a reason for everything. Today's church wants you to believe that it's a matter of grace. I love grace. But there's consequences for sin. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. I wish you understood that. It is hard not to be moved. Because you've either been through something, or you're going through something, or get ready, it's coming. The earth's going to move, the wind's going to blow, and you're going to be rocked to your very core. Most of us can say we've been rocked to our very core more than once. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know your labor in the Lord is not in vain. I've received phone calls from people I haven't seen 10 or 15 years, and they will call to tell me my labor wasn't in vain. That they heard me say something, or they saw me do something, and it changed their life, and they just felt the need to call and tell me the difference I made in their life. We had a service a few weeks ago on a Friday night. Pastor Donna orchestrated, and she had everybody come up and look me in the eye and tell me what I've done that changed their life. Can I tell you, I had no clue of most of it? And the stories were so incredible. My labor is not in vain. I'm not up here in vain. God's using everything I do to benefit the kingdom of God. We've got to close. It's our time. Prayer warriors, will you come up? Music, please. Will you admit that you got a little bit of Clifford in you? I had to. When God showed me this, I about fell on the floor. You see, he was trying to get me to understand his perspective of us instead of me constantly trying to find my perspective of him. And when I saw his perspective, I knew I had to make a change. I knew that I could no longer continue doing it the same way. Here's your opportunity to release the Clifford that's in you. Here's your opportunity. You might say, you know, I don't have much Clifford in me, but yet I know that I could live my life better, more pleasing to God. I could be more courageous. You have a great opportunity today. Come up and release that which you don't want.